Steve Downs, the voice of Master Chief, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight.
Podcast Unlocked.
All right. Hello, everybody. Podcast Unlocked, episode 117.
Yay!
Which means something in the Xbox world, of course. I believe Justin Davis, our special guest commentator, that's your immediate first quiz question.
I said, oh, it's got something to do with them Halos, doesn't it?
Yes. Welcome, Justin. Appreciate you jumping in. You, strangely enough, yesterday were like, hey, I'd love to be on your show sometime.
And
it would be fun.
You said absolutely not. No circumstances.
I said, I have four people already. Why don't you just bite me? And then today I went, hey, all of my regular people are gone. Uh-huh. Could you show up, please?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Happy to pinch hit.
Pinch hitting indeed. Swinging a drive. Mm-hmm. Way back, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate you being here. It's, I believe, your first Unlocked appearance since in my tenure here.
No. I've done one other one where the episode got horrible and filthy, and then I was never invited back. That's a true story.
Okay, so, well, don't ruin this week because it's a special show.
We'll keep it classy.
Naomi Kyle as well.
Yes.
Rejoining us. Always
I'm
good
back
to see
here.
You.
Yeah, always fun to be on this podcast.
A very tanned Naomi Kyle.
Very tanned.
Yeah, I went to...
Canadian, you're very tanned.
Oh, well, you know, our skin, you know, gets to rest while we're up there. And then when we come down here, just like all of a sudden everything turns brown.
It drinks in all the vitamin D.
Yeah, it's like, please, sunlight.
So, yes, it is October 17th, 2013. The show is coming to you a day later than usual for those of you that are always eager to jump right on it every Wednesday because that is our normal time. It's a new podcast every Wednesday here on the world's number one Xbox podcast, as you heard from a certain man at the top of the show reminding you
that
it's the number one podcast. That's the Master Chief himself, Steve Downs. He is joining us for a interview I recorded just a little while ago. It was very cool of him to not only talk to me at all, but particularly for episode 117 in my 11 years covering Xbox. I've never actually gotten to sit down and talk to him.
My gosh.
I still haven't met him in person.
But did you make him record your ringtone?
I was going to ask him about that. I ran out of time. One of my questions was, do you get asked to do fan voicemails all the time? But I ran out of time for that one. But I hope you enjoy that interview. I had a blast doing it. It's about a 35 or so minute interview. Coming up in the middle of the show. So hear all about the life and times of the man behind the mask.
Ooh.
And not Batman, Master Chief.
Yeah, the other
just
mask.
FYI, different mask.
The man behind the Mjolnir
the
armor.
Visor, yes.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did.
Yeah.
I was just going to give you thumbs
Yay,
up
Justin.
For properly pronouncing. Pronouncing.
Pronouncing.
Pronouncing. I'll just go.
Yeah.
You guys can carry on without me.
I pronounce good.
So, Mitch... Destin, Marty,
all out
losers.
Oh man,
they missed the Steve Downs show.
Oh man,
they're too busy playing super secret awesome games.
Well, not anymore.
Oh,
they're
that's
all,
true. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
all at some like dumb news summit thing. That's totally dumb.
What a bunch of jerks!
I'm sure.
I never liked any of them.
I'm sure.
Can't believe they ditched us.
I'm sure it's nice, but yes, Wolf Among Us is what I'm playing this week.
Oh yeah,
how are you guys playing this week?
I've heard it's great.
You've heard correctly.
I've been tonight's the night. I'm going to play through it. Actually.
2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you need to set aside.
Uh-huh. Have any of you guys played the? Read the comics?
I have not.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's interesting. I went into the game, the first episode of it, about as cold as I possibly can. Particularly in our very fortunate line of work.
Sure.
All I knew about it was that. Because they really didn't even do a lot of pre-promotion.
That's true.
A lot of trailers or gameplay previews or all sorts of the usual preview rigmarole that's my whole job around here. They just sort of came out. I knew it was based on a graphic novel, and it was, you know, it would be an adventure game in the vein of Walking Dead. But that's actually all I knew about it. So I went in and immediately I didn't know any of the characters, the setting, the world, nothing. And it's a testament to the game that as soon as I got in and everybody was introduced, I was like, I immediately felt a connection to all the characters.
Yeah, it hooked you.
Oh, it's great. I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah,
it's good to
$5.
I hear after playing it, everyone's like, okay, now I want to read the comics because
I did,
they love that world so much once they're
It did make me want to, except for the part where I'm like, I don't have time for that. But it did make me want to.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, okay, that was
you won't actually do it.
I won't
you'll
do
want
it.
To do
but I was inspired to do so.
It's an interesting one because Telltale has – I actually like the Monkey Island episodes, but generally their track record has been a little bit hit and miss.
It's true.
Walking
Park
Dead was the big one. Like Walking Dead was
the breakthrough.
Heads and tails better than anything that they'd done before, and this is their first follow-up. So it's like, well, are we going to see the old Telltale or, or is this just how the company is now? Are they reaching out?
They figured it out.
Yeah.
They seem to have figured it out and really found their calling, their specific – way of doing things.
Because
you're right. I mean, they sort of were born with Sam and Max. They resurrected Sam and Max from the old LucasArts days. They have a lot of ex-LucasArts adventure game developers on their staff. And then, then it sort of bounced around. There was
bad Jurassic Park.
There was really bad Jurassic Park that I loved anyway, even though it was bad.
So-so Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, Monkey Island. There were a couple other ones in the early days as well.
Yeah, they did Hector.
That's it. Yeah. But yeah, this is
I'm excited.
A great Telltale is happening right now up in the North Bay of Northern California. So
well done, dudes.
Yes, indeed. And $5. Just play it. Play
very
that
worth
game.
It.
Get the season pass.
Yeah.
Get to know your locksmiths. I forgot to write one down this
week.
Oh
no.
You guys got any suggestions? What we should let the audience get to know us a little bit this week. Justin, we don't know. Well, our audience doesn't know you at all.
Let's just get to know Justin. Let's just have that be the focus.
Let's see. Is there some sort of Halo-themed one? How about... In the spirit of episode 117.
I had a... Halo 2 was the first... My first
all right,
big...
Earliest Halo...
Yeah, I actually didn't play... Actually, to this day, I've never played Halo 1. I know it's not, it sounds weird when I say it like that, but I started with I was a PS2 kid.
Yep,
PS2 and GameCube, and then I got my Xbox late with Halo 2, and that was my first big. I also had never done much PC gaming, so it was my first time playing online really. And I thought my kill death ratio was horrible, not good at the game at all. But I felt like I'm the driver when we're carrying the flag back, and I had all these excuses for why my KD was 0.6 or something like that, and had so much fun. Would Russian die. Was one of those terrible players that everybody hates to have on their team. Still am. Haven't improved since then.
Note to self. Justin on my team.
But I do, and I'm a big Halo guy. Have been ever since.
Cool.
Naomi, earliest or strongest Halo memory for you?
Well, it was actually the first game I played on Xbox, the original Xbox. And I remember one time I was hanging out with a boyfriend, and he had the Xbox at the time. I was also PlayStation 2.
You took a break from making out.
No. Let's not go into the details. Okay. But yeah, we were just
what if you miss?
Sitting playing.
I won't. What?
We were just sitting around and playing co-op, and I actually played through Halo 1, 2, and 3 with him co-op.
That's cool.
And that's the only way I played that game.
That's great.
Those first three games. So
impressive.
It was fun. Yeah. That's not good. That impressive, but that's my first memory was that it was my first game on Xbox.
It's good couples bonding, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making a joke. She really
she's smiling. So for me, the funny story I haven't shared on this show is that, a lot of you do know that before I worked at IGN, I worked at Official Xbox Magazine for about 10 years. That was my break in this industry and right out of college. And the funny story is that I did not own an Xbox until they called me and said, okay, we'd like to bring you in for an interview.
Wow.
So at that point, I decided, okay, I guess I better buy one of these things now and get to know it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought it, bought the system about 2 months before it dropped in price by $100 too, which irked me. But what are you going to do? It ultimately is a good investment, but... and then, of course, I bought Halo with it because I had only heard that it was this cool game that everybody was buying the system for. And, yeah, I still remember the early levels of that and slowly getting to know it. And it was like, oh, yeah, wow, this is pretty good. Except for me, I was very much, in Halo, like for many, Halo was the game that taught me how to play with a game, a first-person shooter with a gamepad.
Yeah, twin sticks.
I was a PC guy for 10 years.
Up until that point?
Up until that point. I never had an N64. Mm-hmm. And even if I had, you know, GoldenEye is very different than that controller is very different than the Xbox controller. Yeah. So
that's what I was just going to say is GoldenEye had a twin stick control option where you could use the four yellow C buttons, and then use the joystick as sort of a pseudo twin stick. And no one that was so foreign to me, you know, as a console gamer, that I didn't play that way.
Yeah, I never played that way.
But in hindsight, it's like, well, that's like the legit control option. But like, you know, young Justin didn't know that. And so
young Justin.
I know.
It's so cute.
Justin will go back in time and correct that.
And so, yeah, I think you're probably right. Halo was probably my first big twin stick game, too.
So there it is. Early Halo memories. Hopefully we've got another good decade worth of them.
Yeah,
Halo 4 got us off to a real good start. So we'll see. Stay tuned for Steve Downs coming up later in the show. But first, the news unlocked.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible, a provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 titles to choose from. For listeners of Podcast Unlocked, Audible is offering a free audiobook download when you sign up for a free 30-day trial. If you're not already quoting from it every day, may we suggest checking out Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. It's like The Matrix mixed with video games, Star Wars, and transforming Japanese robots. And we love it. To get started, head to audiblepodcast.com/unlocked and follow the instructions to get your free audiobook. On with the show.
IGN's Xbox 360 podcast, the Podcast Unlocked, presents the News Unlocked!
All right, not a lot happening in the news. It really feels like the calm before the storm at this point, doesn't it?
I've been telling everyone. I'm like, there is something weird going on here. It's way too quiet.
Yeah, I mean, the big games are coming, and of course the systems are coming.
Yeah.
I mean, we're counting. How many shows left before the Xbox One is out? It's probably
four or five shows,
tops.
Four for the Xbox and probably three for the PS4.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be so good.
I know.
I can't wait till we get one, which I have no idea when that is. But
it's going to be Christmas time.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
It'll be fake video game Christmas, and it'll be real Christmas.
Yeah.
That's true.
Double Christmas this
year. A double Christmas.
So if you are jumping in with the Xbox One on launch day, know that you need to cross Watch Dogs off of your pre-order list, Justin.
That is really sad.
Delayed.
I know. I actually, despite me doing the Price is Right sad horn, it's good news. I mean, game delays are always disappointing and sad, but I'm a big fan of better games, right?
Yeah. So.
Delayed till at least April, the quarter that goes, their second quarter, April to June.
Yeah, that's actually a big delay. We'd heard some rumors about this, just like off the record scuttlebutt speculation, but what I'd heard was it was going to be a short delay, but no, they're
like
months.
Like January, February.
So it's an interesting move. You know, I do applaud, as you said, Justin, you know, Ubisoft has never been shy about delaying for quality's sake, and that's great. But here's the issue. I mean, the big advantage for Watch Dogs was that not only was it shaping up, it was really looking good. It was like everybody's game of show at E3 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it also was going to get the sort of first mover advantage on next gen as far as the, you know, open world games, which are a bigger genre than ever. It seems like half of every next-gen game we see is some sort of pseudo-open-world experience.
Yep. Well, and we also, you know, I can't speak for other people, but it seems like sort of the general feeling is, you know, some people are sort of so-so on Dead Rising 3, people are so-so on Knack on the PS4.
Right.
And so really, Watch Dogs, even though it's on current gen, was like, gonna be like, okay, I'm getting an Xbox and Watch Dogs.
Like the one you were most sure about, right?
Like, I have to actually go out now and look to see what I'm going to be playing on my Xbox One. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I've heard from a few of my Twitter followers that said, well, I'm canceling my system pre-order because now there's really nothing coming out this year. You know, I'll just buy one next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that.
I don't know. So when you put it that way, it's like Ubisoft, if they really did it for quality reasons, then hey, good on them. Like, the game needs to be as good as it can be. But if they did it to get out of the way of GTA or other fall releases, then I think they might have made a mistake.
Well, that's you hit on a point. That's what I wanted to discuss real quick is, you know, the one side is, yes, they do get out of, because GTA is going to continue to sell.
It's just monstrous.
The reality is Watch Dogs is sort of being positioned as a next-gen title. But as you said, Justin, it's also coming out on current gen.
Mm-hmm.
But really, GTA will continue to put up massive numbers on the current gen side up through the holidays. So next gen, they were going to maybe sell, at least at launch. I mean, of course, 2014 certainly matters as well. But you know, they were only going to maybe sell what, maybe a million copies of it for this holiday across both platforms, just because the installed bases are going to be so low.
Fair enough.
But so you all right? So you get out of GTA's way. GTA is going to have a big holiday, but April to June puts you right in the crosshairs of Titanfall and Destiny,
wow,
which are probably the two biggest next-gen games right now.
You think those are both going to be Q2 games?
That's what we've been led – well, for Titanfall, yes. They've said spring.
Okay.
They have said spring. And then Destiny, they've sort of hinted at that by suggesting, well, the beta is happening in early 2014, so that would sort of maybe position it as a spring title. We don't really know, but I'm just saying, all right, but there's a – let's just say there's a good chance that it puts it up alongside – definitely Titanfall, and a good chance it's up against Destiny as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I guess it's sort of out of the frying pan into the fire. Like, you're always going to be coming up against something. Like, we're so crowded right now. I'm our features editor, and I'm trying to find room for features. And like, this week's so crowded. And I'm
right.
like, but next week there's more stuff, and next week there's more stuff. Like, eventually you just kind of need to be like, hey, our game's done. We're really confident in it. We believe in it. Let's see what we can do. I don't know. You know, they're insisting that it's for polish reasons, and so I choose to, you know, take them at their word.
Of course.
And if that's the case, then, hey, they want that game to be special. They want it to be, you know, an Assassin's Creed that they can will be a, you know, decade-long franchise for them, so they got to come out really strong.
Yeah.
I will go out on a limb and say it would not surprise me at all if, either for quality reasons or for scheduling reasons, Watch Dogs ends up being a big summer game after Titanfall is out and after Destiny, and they could maybe potentially go out there and really own the summer.
Maybe. See, I have a feeling that those two games are likely to not end up launching when they say they're going to.
It's a good chance. I mean,
it's all speculation.
It is. If we're all talking out of our microphones here, as it were. If you got to buy one of those three games, which one do you buy?
Oh.
You only got $60.
It's like, I like how we make noises like you just punched us in the stomach.
I've always really been rooting for Watch Dogs, so and it's Ubisoft, you know. I am a huge
Canadian pride.
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
Oh, for me, I guess it's process of elimination. I'm not a big Call of Duty guy or a big multiplayer guy, so Titanfall is incredible as it looks.
Yeah,
you know, no, but I do love Bungie. So Destiny's awesome. I think Watch Dogs looks great. I'm a big single player story guy. I like the social message that Watch Dogs has. So. I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna refuse. I'm gonna say not Titanfall. I would get the other two.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're gonna buy one and steal the other
yep,
one.
Yep. I'm cheating. I'll get one from work. That counts.
Oh, you.
Damn. Now I want to take back my answer.
All right. Next story. Naomi,
no way. You didn't answer.
I didn't answer. All right. Yeah. As unbelievable as Titanfall is, if gun to my head, I only get to pick one of those three games, I think I'm gonna take Destiny.
Yeah. I knew it.
I think so. I'm going to play it longer, and then there's going to be, it's just a broader, deeper thing.
Sure.
Even though, God, Titanfall's so good.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. It's going to be great.
Just put it in my veins. All right. Next story. Naomi, we don't like soccer in America. So as our resident Canadian.
Yeah.
Would you do this next story?
Sure. Let's see where I am on my page here. Yeah, so Xbox Entertainment greenlights new soccer series for Xbox TV.
What?
Yeah.
What did you just say?
I just said that. I spoke these words out of my mouth. Yeah. Every street reunited in the name.
Is the name, sorry. Yeah, it's called Every Street Reunited, which is also a terrible.
That is a really bad name.
It's weird.
The show will focus
this
on
week on yeah. Every Street Reunited.
It's got the cheese factor. The show will focus on street soccer, with each half-hour episode shot in a different country. The U.S., Spain, Holland, France, Argentina, Brazil, Ghana, South Korea. I'm not finished here. Featuring local undiscovered soccer players across the globe. Exact details on the show remain scarce. Although Deadline has heard that the idea is to... You know, I can't even complete this now that you've fallen asleep.
Oh, are we back on the air? Suddenly I was lulled into a glorious sleep.
Thank God that's over.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it does sound, if you are a soccer fan, then it sounds kind of cool. To me, and this is kind of inside baseball, it sounds very, very expensive. Filming in different countries all over the globe, having the finale at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds – how can that possibly make its money back for Xbox?
Well, but hey, maybe that means if they're going to be spending money on stuff, maybe that means the Halo TV series will get some budget.
That's true. And it does sound – you know, even if you're not a big soccer fan, being in all these different countries and stuff, like, it sounds like it'll probably be, like, gorgeous to just look at.
Yeah, I played FIFA World Cup and liked it.
Yeah, me too.
So.
Yeah,
let's hope so. And, of course – by the way, I know that the entire rest of the world is like, this show sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It's only America that's like, God. Ugh.
It's growing in America. And I do like soccer. I'll tease
you. It's been growing in America for 30 years. Everybody always says that. Oh, it's about to break through as the next big sport, and no one cares.
No, the Major League Soccer is doing well.
It's surviving.
It's bigger
than...
So do
you actually follow soccer?
Yeah.
Justin? Oh.
Not like super, super closely, but I go to a few Earthquakes games and this and that sort of thing. It is bigger than hockey in America now.
That... maybe true. Which is more of a failing of hockey, I think, than
that is
else.
Really sad to hear.
Aww.
But hockey and soccer are pretty
Naomi
big
is crying
Montreal.
A frozen tear
a
right
tear.
Now. And then his little Zamboni's going to drive over. See?
Smooth
little,
it over.
Little hockey humor, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
You went creative on that one.
Xbox One developers are getting free access to dedicated servers.
Yay.
Which is
Yay.
A good thing. It's just one of those little incentives that Microsoft can throw out there to say, hey, put your game, you know, focus your game on our platform. Look what we can do for you here.
Competition raises the bar for everybody.
It does, and thank goodness the PS4 is, you know, really taking a mighty uppercut that it's, you know, Microsoft can't just coast through North America this generation.
Mighty Uppercut would be a good name for a band.
That is a good name for a band.
We start one?
Mm-hmm. So the two band names that I always thought I would want to have for my like serious band would be which actually existed in the form of Rock Band in 2007.
It's very serious.
With Dan Amrick, my old podcasting partner from OXM and who's now at One of Swords at Activision. Our Rock band was Undead Unicorn.
Wow.
That was our cool band. We had the logo and everything.
Now we're in a softball team, you and I, Ryan.
We are. First game next week.
Yeah. Do you think we could steal that name for our softball team?
I would be willing to.
We have unicorns in the roster of potential names, right? Don't we have like IGN unicorns or something?
Yeah,
something cheesy.
Yeah, it's on the list. So I would be willing to license it.
Okay.
To IGN for a small fee.
A small fee?
Yeah.
All right, let's work out a deal.
So everyone give you a beer at the end of the game.
And then I'm going to drive home. Yeah. I'm finding you.
Okay, but maybe there's some holes in my plan.
And then the other one I thought for my like ironic hipster punk band would be Adjective Noun, because that's
wow.
every band name is
an adjective and a noun. Yeah.
That's actually really good.
And a lot of production companies too.
No one steal that. I'm trademarking it. Next story here. This one's just one of those little things that people tend to get up in arms about online, but I do wish that Xbox had this, because so the story is that you're not going to be able to view people on your friends list by their real names on Xbox One at launch. It's going to come online later.
Right. And you can't search them either.
Correct. You can do it on PS4 from day one.
Right.
And I have to say, I must confess, Justin, that there are people on my friends list that have been there for years that actually I forget who they are. And I'm like, I don't remember who you are.
I feel the same way.
I added you and you're from somewhere.
I must like you, but I just don't remember who you are.
And I might not even have met you in person.
Exactly. It's quite the like first world games journalist problem.
Absolutely.
But
that's one of the side effects of being in a place like IGN is like my Steam list and, you know, any social list that I have, I just can't keep track of who I know in real life anymore who, you know, is just an IGN person that I've interacted with. Like a fan or something like that. I do think, I mean, the real name thing that's been in the news recently, not in the video game news, but like Google is forcing you almost have to use your real name on things like YouTube and places like that. They're making it harder and harder for you not to. And people don't like that. I mean, anonymity is important to a lot of people.
I'll tell you what, like ESPN, I read their website every day at lunchtime to catch up on sports news. And they had a comment system that's not that wasn't too unlike IGN's, where you just had used whatever username you wanted.
Sure.
And it turned into a cesspool of awfulness. And they actually ditched it and switched to Facebook, where you have to have your real name. And it hasn't completely cleared it out, but it has cleaned up their comments section big time.
Yep, it's a massive benefit of Facebook comments. There's all kinds of weird technical reasons that Facebook comments are weird, but yeah, I mean, when people have your face and name attached to what they say, like, suddenly
makes
you think,
a big difference.
Yep. Yeah, yeah,
that's very true. I don't know. I mean, Xbox, maybe that appeals to people. Like, maybe I don't want everybody in my friends list to know I'm Justin Davis, or like I'm playing GTA Online, and like my gamer tag's not like a secret, but I appreciate that people don't know that I'm from like IGN,
yeah,
and I
you
can
just want to get on there. And
I definitely don't want mine out there either.
Yeah, so, I keep mine secret, too.
Yeah.
So maybe this news is, maybe they're trying to figure out how to let people opt into it or something like that.
Although,
I think that would be great if they chose that.
Should your gamer tag leak out, Naomi, at any point? Because it actually happened to me once years ago.
It did to me, too, at one
point.
And
I had to change it because I was constantly flooded with requests, and it just became like...
It's a hassle, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So one thing you can do on Xbox One at launch... is follow people now, like Twitter.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
follow gamer tags. So friending now is a two-way street.
Right.
You send a friend request. I send a friend request to Naomi, and she's like, that Ryan's annoying. There's no way I'm accepting
Deny.
That friend request. And yeah, you either ignore it or you say no.
Yeah.
And then I can't see you. I can't see what you're doing.
I accept it.
Yeah, and then we can both see what's going on with the other profile.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to have following, similar to Twitter, where I can keep up with you.
Sort of like Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly
without,
like Facebook.
Without having to, you don't have to follow me back friend me back.
Yeah. In the biz, that's asymmetrical.
That's true.
Asymmetrical sharing. And so that was the big thing. Like Facebook was actually not the first social network because there was Friendster and a bunch of other BS. But... Facebook is just how it worked. You connected with somebody only if they connected with you back, and then Twitter really flipped that on its head, and now more and more people are going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's smart.
I do too, and it's made me think, well, gee, maybe if my gamertag ever does leak out at some point, my private one, then at least I can have followers and not like fill up my 1,000
person
friends list.
Yeah, not have the annoying requests.
And be bombarded with game requests every time I log on.
And then 10,000 people can see when you're watching Netflix.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's...
And what you're watching. Pretty in Pink?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
What are you watching?
I was going to go a different direction. I was going to say like Prison Heat or something. And it's like, oh God.
Or, you're playing some super embarrassing game.
Yeah.
Like Fast and the Furious Showdown.
Yeah.
What's he doing? Does he hate himself? I know I'm speaking.
Oh, yeah.
One more Canada tie-in. Here we go. Watch this.
Let's do it.
You ready for me to drop some knowledge on you?
Drop it.
NBA 2K14 is, of course, a basketball simulation. Basketball invented by Dr. James Naismith. A Canadian.
Yeah, we invented a lot of sports.
You did.
I was told this by Alex Salamita, Bat Mitz Bro or something?
Bearded Mets
Bearded
Bro.
Bearded Mets Bro.
Yes,
just goes to show I don't know
one of our
baseball.
Video guys who had his 15 minutes of fame at Shea Stadium in the All-Star game this year, the Major League Baseball All-Star game, by catching a
he
Yoenis
caught
Cespedes,
it on live television.
Yeah,
he was happy
ball in the Derby, and the ESPN like zoomed in on him freaking out.
He's happier about that than I've ever been about anything.
I know.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make you feel a little dead inside to know you've never been that stoked?
Mm-hmm. And you even have a kid.
That's true. So you're married, so you had a wedding day.
Good point. What I meant to say was, I take it all back. I'm sorry, sweetie.
So, NBA 2K14, I implore you to go to IG. Actually, you know what? I'll embed it in the podcast
article
page
on
this week. The new trailer of
is
the
amazing.
Next gen version of NBA 2K, it's crazy.
It's so good.
Do you remember?
That's right. It's set to Phil
Collins.
Phil Collins,
of all songs.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. We were shooting an episode of Cheapical Crazy, and, well, this is maybe a spoiler, guys, but we were on a ship, and it was supposed to be a pirate ship, and the guys, after we had been sailing all in the bay and everything, they come back, and they're like, okay, bye, and they're setting up to, like, I guess close down the ship, and they started playing the Phil Collins song, the exact same one that I heard this morning. It was just this weird coincidence.
That's funny.
That's great.
And then we were just joking how it's a little weird that they're listening to that song and they're all like men working together.
I'm not going to
judge. A little bromance happening.
Yeah, I'm not going to take Phil away from anybody.
Guys, they sail together.
Yeah.
They're on the open seas. They're lonely.
That's true.
In the air tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They are in the air tonight.
Something to relax their senses.
Mm-hmm.
Stay zen.
So, yeah, take a look at that trailer. And I got to say, like, I'm going to go out on a limb here.
It is impressive.
And I will say that NBA 2K14 may end up being the most technically impressive launch game, period.
It is. It's the trailer.
I may go back to playing it.
If it's not smoke and mirrors, like if it's legitimate, then yeah, that's incredible.
I think you've got. I think technically speaking, you're looking at Forza on the Xbox One, Killzone Shadowfall on the PS4, and then maybe NBA 2K14 as the third party, you know, most impressive game that's on both platforms from a pure visual standpoint, from a pure like, oh my god, this is a next gen system kind of reaction.
Are you guys gonna play it?
I'll be reviewing it. I'm a big fan.
You have
fan
no
of
choice to play it.
Help me.
No, I don't know how sports work, so I will not be playing it.
Yeah, I might attempt it. Like, touch goal. I've played hockey. I've played like hockey games and soccer games and here and there. You know, whenever I feel like
you put the ball through
change.
The thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Justin Davis, I want to turn to you for the Marketplace Report. What can we spend our money on in Xbox land this week?
Well, if you got $35 to spend and you don't want to spend it on The Wolf of Us or...
The Wolf of Us?
The Wolf Among Us.
Wolf Among Us. Wow. That was weird.
It's your turn to
the Wolf of
horribly
Us?
Butcher something.
New band name, maybe?
Anyway, point is, if you have $35 and you hate yourself, you can get Cabela's African Adventures. That's actually very mean. I have no idea whether these
apparently,
games are any good.
Apparently, they
or
are
not.
Pretty decent.
Okay. And there's some Cabela's fan out there is shaking his fist right now.
And obviously, they sell well every year. These are sold at those like Cabela's stores, those big box retail stores that are in states not named California.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, you know, Redneck Rampage way back in the day. Like, this is the sort of game, like, my dad doesn't play video games, but if he saw this when he's buying shotgun shells, like, you know. You might be tempted to pick it up. Cabela's African Adventure, $35. Also, Wipeout, Create, and Crash, $40.
A Kinect-enabled game.
Yeah, not Wipeout the racing game.
Based on the television show. The reality TV show.
Yeah.
Wipeout the TV show where people bounce off the giant balls and fall into the water.
I just want to say I remember John Henson, who's one of the co-hosts of that show, from his much better days as Talk Soup.
Oh, that's right.
We miss you, John. He left that show voluntarily, and then... like disappeared for years until. But I guess I'll bet you he makes more money than ever at doing this. You know, co-hosting this.
He's got those Wipeout dollars now, and they probably film like an entire season in like 2 days.
Probably.
Oh my gosh! What am I doing with my life?
I want to host a reality show. Do I do the XBLA stuff too?
Yes, please.
Okay, so
what else is out there?
On that live arcade, we got Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Speaking of television shows.
Because, you know, there's nothing more relevant and hot than Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. and I've got Hexodius.
That show is deader than Regis Philbin.
Regis
is still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive. Who's hosting it now? Is it that girl who used
Meredith
to be on...
Meredith Vieira still?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was a dude again. I honestly don't know.
Who cares?
Yeah, and a game called... is this bad that I haven't heard of it? Hexodius.
None of us have heard of it.
Never heard of it.
We've been railing against this on recent episodes where Microsoft so doesn't care about Live Arcade anymore that every week every week we read the game that's out and we're like, we don't even know what that is.
They're not even bothering to tell you.
Pretty much.
So I want to, if people at home, a little peek behind the curtain. We have notes for the podcast that Ryan so helpfully provides. And the notes also says, and for the love of God, buy and play The Wolf of Us. The Wolf Among
Again,
Us.
You did it!
The words are in front of me. For the love of God, buy and play The Wolf Among Us, which
from
hit last
now
Friday
I'm
for
only
$5.
Referring it to it as Wolf of
The
Us.
Wolf of Us.
I want to see that Photoshop now.
That sounds like it should be a Metallica song. Like,
yeah.
The Wolf of Us. Yeah.
It should be that, or it's like Joel with like Ellie with a wolf head and they're going around.
There you go.
Oh, we are getting Eric Sapp to design that for us. Right now, I am emailing him.
he'll probably put a dog in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a guarantee.
Always with the dog.
Also, you can get a playable demo of Payday 2 and Lego Marvel Super Heroes.
Payday 2, if you need a co-op, like tactical co-op, first-person game. Very cool.
Last and certainly not least, Halo 3, free for gold members.
Fitting.
Until the end of the month.
Fitting on this episode that Halo 3 is a free game you can go get right now.
Probably a gold, free for gold or whatever. What's the promo called?
Games for gold?
Games for gold has been consistently high quality, but I'm going to go out on a limb. Halo 3, man. Like, that's one of the best free games.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, gotta play it.
And there are so many Xbox owners... that weren't Xbox owners in 2007.
Yeah, that game's
that
old.
Probably missed the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, go take a shot.
No excuses.
I mean, it's Halo 3 for free is a, you know, 10-hour single-player game. You can play it with your significant other in co-op.
Correct.
And then, of course, an endless multiplayer. There's just, you know.
Halo 3 is my most played Halo game by far. I've played probably 3,000 matches of multiplayer.
It's two for me. It would take me a long time to surpass two. All right. So that's it for the news and the Marketplace Report. We'll come back here. Stay tuned for my interview with the Master Chief himself, Steve Downs.
A special treat for episode 117 of Podcast Unlocked, IGN's Xbox podcast. It is the man behind Spartan 117 himself, Steve Downs, joining me on Skype. Steve, welcome. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Ryan. Your timing is impeccable with our episode number here.
Yeah, it's a, you know, we could call it a coincidence, but let's be honest. No, I've been planning this for weeks, so I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, obviously you are the man, as your website says, you are the voice of a hero, the sound of a legend. And it is actually true, because I went cruised your website and looked, went for some more background for you on about you on Wikipedia, and it turns out there's a lot more to Steve Downs than simply Master Chief. And so I wanted to start by asking you, Steve, you've done radio for many years, but your first video game voice work was actually not Halo. It was a 1999 PC game called Septerra Core. Now, did that help lead you to Halo at all?
Oh, yeah, no, it was a direct lead-in because the guy who cast me for that was Marty O'Donnell, who, as I'm sure you know, went on to, do all the voices and the music for all the Bungie Halo games. So it was something that they were working on, you know, pre-Halo.
Yeah.
And, he called me and he listens to me on – used to listen to me on the radio when he lived here in Chicago, and called me in to do this, you know, minor character on this little game, and it went well, and we got along well, and all that. And then it was about a year or so later where he called me back, to come in to read for Master Chief. So yeah, there was a direct correlation between the two. Although I encourage people not to try to seek out that game because it was a little on the. On the primitive side, and my performance was, it could have been better. Let's put it that way.
Well, everybody, you know, it's your first one. You always get better each time, right? Now, did you use the Master Chief tone and inflection for that, or was it different?
No, not really. It was a much lighter tone. It wasn't anything. I suppose if you heard it. You know, it's the same voice. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's there, but no, I didn't, what I used for Master Chief was, I think very different than what I did for that character.
Right. Now, be honest, Steve, especially back then, video games were nowhere near the entertainment industry force they are now. So did your agent, say, yeah, go ahead this video game thing, this Halo thing, whatever, it'll be a one-time paycheck? Or did you have any designs on it being a recurring thing that you might do on a regular basis?
Ryan, in all honesty, I had absolutely no thoughts of it being anything beyond, you know, that the what ended up being two sessions that I did for Halo Combat Evolved. So, I had no inclination whatsoever that this was going to turn out even half as big as it ended up. It was a complete shock to me.
Now, Master Chief is famous for we never see his face.
Right.
Now, as you're auditioning for the part, I'm sure they gave you a look at the character, this 7-foot space marine in a green suit. Do you try to picture as you're trying to come up with a voice, the right tone, the right version of your voice for Master Chief. Do you picture a face? Do you picture anything? Or how do you come into it?
That's a good question, because when we did Combat Evolved, I had no picture of of Master Chief. They had nothing to show me at that point. They had you know, a concept, and, you know, we talked about the character, but in terms of an actual visual reference, I had absolutely none. So, you know, I just had this, you know, we talked about, you know, more who he was on the inside.
Yeah.
And, you know, that he was, you know, the you know, the direction that Marty gave me that really got me started in terms of what I was going to do with it was, he said, think of Clint Eastwood in the old spaghetti westerns that he did, you know, For a Few Dollars More and Fistful of Dollars and all that. And he said, think of the, of that kind of character, you know, kind of a loner and a man of few words and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, when he does speak, somebody usually dies. So, you know, that's sort of what started me on where to go with him, you know, in terms of what kind of approach I wanted to take with it.
Now, are you aware of any other actors, perhaps local Chicago? Because, of course, Bungie back then, for our listeners that don't know, Bungie is originally based out of Chicago before they were moved to Seattle. Right. Are you aware of any other voice actors that auditioned for Master Chief besides yourself?
I'm not, and I'm pretty sure, because I've asked Marty about this, that he decided it would. I mean, I didn't even audition for it. He called me in to do the session. I mean, it was not even an audition, which is a little unusual. But he had it in his head, and I think because we had done that session a year earlier on the other game, you know, he sort of knew what I was capable of doing. And so, as far as I know, he had nobody else in mind, you know, other than me, which was, you know, quite fortunate for myself.
Well, yet another indication of Marty's genius. He has shown time and again he is the very best in the business at what he does. Apparently, he's a genius at casting as well.
He's an absolute genius, Ryan.
He is. He is. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him before on the podcast, and yeah, he is great.
I'm a huge fan of him as a person and as a creator. He was a pleasure to work with. That's for sure.
Now, I'm sure you get this one all the time, but have you actually at any point over the years sat down and played any of the Halo games?
Well, Ryan, I've never made a secret about the fact that I'm not really a gamer, but yes, I have tried. I mean, I think, you know, after I realized what had happened, you know, what was going on with the first game and how huge not only Halo was, but the whole gaming world was, you know, I thought, well, I'll get myself an Xbox and sit down and see what this is all about. And it was, in a word, pathetic. and then when I started going to conventions and store openings and that kind of thing, and then would be put up against, you know, people much younger than myself who were quite skilled at the game. I sort of realized, you know, where my talents were and where they weren't, and where they weren't was having the hand-to-eye coordination to be able to play the game effectively. So yes, I mean, to answer your question, yes, I have tried, and yes, I did fail.
Which game do you think of the four of them is your best performance?
Well, I would have to say, and I say this with this caveat that I think, like most actors, at least most of them that I know, you know, once you hear or see the work that you've done, you always wish you could go back and do it again.
Of course.
That you would improve on it. So having said that, Halo 4 is definitely, without question, my favorite, because first of all, I had more to do.
Right.
There were more lines to say. It was the first time that Jen Taylor and I had gotten to work together in the same room at the same time doing real time, reading. And just the subject matter of the game, the storyline of the game was much more challenging than the first three.
Right.
So yeah, there's no doubt about it that was my, my favorite time, you know, and plus the fact that I got to work a lot more closely with, you know, the directors and the writers and the, you know, all the other levels of people who are involved in making a game like this. Whereas before, you know, it was usually just Marty and I that work on the, especially on the first two games, and in the third game it brought him down a little bit. But it was pretty much just Marty and I that worked together. And so when we got to do Halo 4, and I got to, you know, sit with the writers and get a script in advance and really talk this through before we went into the studio, it made it more challenging, but I think ultimately more rewarding.
Was there ever a doubt after, you know, Bungie moved on to their next project, of course, the upcoming Destiny? Was there ever a doubt that you would be Master Chief after you found out, hey, this is going to keep going, but it's not going to be with Bungie anymore?
Oh, absolutely. I had a huge doubt as to whether or not that was, you never know. With the exception of Frank and one or two others, I mean, it was a brand new crew.
Yeah.
With 343, and you know, they may have easily wanted their own people, not only in the behind the scenes part of it, but in the voice part of it too. So I had no, I didn't think it was a sure thing at all, and plus the fact that I know that they wanted different things out of Master Chief than what had been required before, from an emotional standpoint, and I think we had to we did a couple of, sort of test screenings, if you will, to see if I could give them what they wanted, where they intended on taking Master Chief, if I could be there with them. And fortunately, I was, because it was really what I always hoped would happen anyway. So when given the chance to be able to be a little more expressive and emotive with the character, I jumped at it, and they fortunately liked it, and the rest is history.
Well, I'm not sure if you're aware of how video gamers tend to be on the internet, but they're, let's say, a very passionate bunch, and if they had...
Yes, they are.
If they had attempted to recast you, you would have seen actually possibly... actual violence breaking out in the streets.
Oh, I wouldn't encourage that, but it was rewarding, and I was certainly not oblivious to that. And I got to tell you, when I go to conventions and have an opportunity to meet, people who are fans of the game and whatnot, it's I'm always sort of humbled by it, because I know that all the fun that I'm having doing this is a direct relation to their wanting me to do it.
So, Steve, what is your favorite line that you have ever done? Because I have an answer to this, what my favorite line of yours is ever, but I'm curious, what is your favorite line?
Well, it's hard to single out a favorite line. I mean, the line that most often gets quoted is finish the fight. That was the iconic line that came out of Halo 2, and then back to the beginning of Halo 2, where his line, "I need a weapon." Those were sort of the iconic lines, and it's interesting that I don't know. I'll be interested to see what your favorite is, but I'm not sure that an iconic line has come out of Halo 4 yet, at least not that I know of.
Yeah. Yeah, for me it was always the original in Halo 2, and then even it appeared in the original trailer for Halo 2, when Chief's about to jump into space and Cortana asks, "What if you miss?" And you just give the "I won't."
I won't.
Oh, that's goosebumps every time, Steve. I love it.
That's the favorite of mine too.
So how do I get into voice acting? I would love to do it. Everybody tells me I should do it. It seems like a dream job. Is it, in fact, a dream job, Steve?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like any other kind of work. I don't know that I'd call it. I mean, it's I love doing it. And it's the actual, once you actually get into the studio and you start doing it, that's just heaven. I mean, it's fun. It's different every time, whether you're voicing video game characters or animated characters, or you're doing commercial work. I mean, it's always something different. You're working with different people, and it's stimulating, and I love doing it. The pain in the ass part of it is getting there. And even when you're, I've been doing voiceover for a number of years, you get told no many, many, many more times than you get told yes.
Interesting.
So, you know, you have to have a bit of a thick skin for it, and because, you know, most of the time, you know, you may audition 100 times, and 99 times you're going to be told no. Or actually what happens is 99 times you're not told anything. You just don't get the job. And then the one time that you do get the job, that makes it all worthwhile. So it is, I would not call it a dream job in that way. But it is, you know, if you can put up with that part of it, it sure is a lot of fun.
When you're doing Halo, one of the Halo games, what's a typical day like for you? And how long does it take to do each game? You mentioned the original Halo Combat Evolved was 2 sessions. But
yeah,
these days, maybe more...
You know, each one of those days was maybe an hour and a half long.
Wow.
You know, it may have been 3 days because I think there was a day where we did, you know, what I would call the scream sessions or the death sessions. For all you times that you guys screw up and Master Chief goes down,
yeah.
I got to have a noise for that.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, you'll go through literally an hour's worth of just, you know, dying, near dying, killing, you know, near killing, injured, falling, you know, all of those things have to be recorded, and they can be a little on the strenuous side voice-wise. But when we did Halo 4, it was a whole different matter. I went out to Seattle to do most of it, and it would be 8-hour sessions. I mean,
wow.
We would be in the studio for 6 to 8 hours a day, 2 or 3 days a week. Then I come back to Chicago. Then I go back to Seattle maybe a few weeks later. We'd do another couple, 3 8-hour days. And then several, you know, we did one in L.A. once. Then we would do, you know, kind of pickup sessions from here in Chicago. And I'd
sure.
work at studios here in Chicago, and that may be an hour here and an hour there. But it was a lot more involved, you know, in terms of time-wise, to get it just exactly right.
So are you a hot water guy, a tea guy? How do you keep your voice going all day?
I'm a throat coat guy, and I'm a room temperature guy. Room temperature water, throat coat, the occasional apple when you start getting a little too much mouth noise, that helps. But yeah, those are my poisons of choice.
So here's maybe a bit of an odd question, but I'm curious.
That's the first time anybody's ever asked me that. So if you were looking for a first,
all right, I got at least one. Well, how about this one? This may sound a little odd, but are you a smoker by chance, Steve? Because and the reason I ask, it seems like you have to be a smoker to have an awesome enough voice to do voice acting professionally. You get that husky sound to it. Is it all natural talent, or have you been a guy who's been a smoker?
Well, listen, you know, I am not currently, but I certainly, you know, it probably got me. I mean, I'm not encouraging it. That's
no.
For sure, but it may have had something to do with how I got to where I got, but no, not at the moment anyway.
Well, that's good to hear. And part two to that. Something else I look at too, and I hope you take no offense from this, is age a part of it too? Because, and I ask that because it seems like men's voices in particular get deeper and more distinctive with time. I look at a guy like Michael Ironside, who is another fantastic voice actor and did the character Sam Fisher in all of the Splinter Cell video games.
Yeah.
He's in his 60s.
Yeah.
You know, I know you've been doing voice acting for a while. Is voice acting one profession where it's not a young man's game?
Well, you know, yes and no. I think, you know, I don't know that the timbre of your voice necessarily changes. I suppose it does to a certain degree. I mean, I go back and listen to things that I've done, you know, 10, 15, even 20 years ago. And I don't know that from a range standpoint, I hear a great deal of difference. But I think it's more has to do with the experience of how to use your instrument.
Right.
And I think that, so, I mean, you can call it age, you can call it experience. I think you just, the more you do it, the more you understand, your own instrument and how to use it. And I think that figures into it rather than just the physical
right.
Aging of your voice doing anything. Now, I mean, at some point it does, you
sure.
know, and actually I think, you know, at some point it begins to affect it negatively, but I think it really has to do with more of understanding how to use it rather than what the actual age of the instrument is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I got to go back real quick to something you mentioned earlier when I was asking you about, you know, your favorite line, things that you know, people tend to quote, finish the fight most often. Now, that line, of course, comes at the end of Halo 2, and Halo 2 is a game that has become a bit infamous for its, shall we say, abrupt ending.
Yes.
That Bungie has since admitted, you know, there was supposed to be another level before, you know, the hectic production schedule forced them to amend it a bit. Now, did you record lines for a level we never played?
You know what? I'm not trying to be coy about this, but if I did, I don't remember. I don't remember recording.
Yeah.
And the problem with, you know, I mean, of course that was, you know, many, what was that?
10 years ago, almost.
Yeah. You don't necessarily record things in sequence.
Makes sense.
Much
yeah.
like an actor, you know, in filming, you know, it's not necessarily done chronologically in terms of how you see it in the film or how you play it in the game. So I could have recorded something that they and I'm sure. I mean, you know, this happens all the time. We record a lot of things that never get used.
Yeah.
But whether I actually recorded something that was a different ending. If I did, I wasn't aware of it, and I think I would have been aware of it. You know what I'm saying? I think
yeah,
I would have understood this. It's like, well, wait a second, we're going somewhere else, and they would have told me.
Yeah.
But time takes its toll, Ryan.
That is true.
I may have, and I've just forgotten. But my honest answer is I don't remember doing an alternate ending for that.
So, of course, you've also done voiceover for Carnival Cruise, National Ad Campaign. You're narrating the Shark Attack Files on the Discovery Channel.
Yes.
You, of course, do the Halo games. How's the money for something like that? Well, not to get too personal, but is it, because you do work in radio what we would call your day job. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So is voiceover work, you know, when you do a Halo game or a Carnival Cruise ad campaign or the Discovery Channel, is it really worth your while, or is it more just, you know, take a nice vacation, kind of like that's how you justify your big vacation every year?
Well, without getting particularly revealing about it.
Yeah.
The thing with recording commercial work is can be more lucrative because you get paid oftentimes per use. So, you know, like with Carnival Cruise Lines, or I did the Sears, the Craftsman Tool campaign or things like that. I did a series for Quiznos sandwiches at one time. And you get paid based on how many times they run. So that can be quite lucrative.
Sure.
If the ad campaign is successful. Video games, not so much. Video games are not based on residuals. So, the story I often tell about, you know, you asked me early on if I had an idea what the success of Halo was. And it was almost a year after the first game came out before I had any idea, because as a voiceover, unless you're in the world, and I wasn't a gamer, so I was not in that world. But when you do voiceover work, the how you really know whether or not what you do successful is directly related to the checks that end up in your mailbox. You get a lot of checks, it was a successful campaign. If you don't, it wasn't. But with video games, that's not the case, because it's not based on residuals. You know, if it was, you know, I'd be owning a house on the moon right now. but it's not. You're reimbursed, you know, based on you negotiate a fee, and it has nothing to do with whether, you know, they sell one game or a billion. So it's a little different that way. But you know, I can tell you that in terms of Halo, I'm not complaining.
I should think, yeah, by now, you know, the budgets are so much higher and the games sell so many more million copies that, you know, there's a reason you have an agent who gets to go back in and renegotiate for you.
Yes, there is.
So I know I'm running out of time with you, Steve. I've got a few more questions for you. Was the announcement of three more Halo games a couple of years ago the best news in the world for you?
Well, yes, it was. It was. But as I said before, when you were asking me before if I knew for sure that I was going to be, you know, recast in the role, I didn't. I mean, there was hope, and I was hopeful that I was going to. But you know, on the first level, yeah, because I felt, and you know, regardless of my involvement, I just thought there was so much more story there that needed to be told. And so I was, you know, at first thrilled that in fact they were going to do that. And then when I did get involved and got to know, you know, the you know, Chris Schlurf and Frank O'Connor, yeah, and Kiki Wolfkill, and you know, all these people that were you know, really pouring their heart and soul into this, that's when it became really exciting for me, because I knew A, that the franchise was in good hands, and B, they had some really cool ideas about where they wanted it to go. So that part of it was the best news. You know, when I actually got my feet wet in it and,
yeah,
and realized not only what I was going to be doing, but who I was going to be doing it with, that's when it became real exciting.
So, you know, you mentioned that you were, you know, that it was no sure thing that you were going to get called back in to continue on as Master Chief. Is there ever a time where, from your side of it, you see that you see yourself not wanting to play Master Chief anymore? I mean, for us gamers, too often these days, it gets to a point where a franchise gets old enough that the people who run it want to reboot it and start over, and they recast a great voice actor like yourself with some young generic guy. We're seeing it all too often in video games now. Is there a time where you see that maybe you want to hang them up yourself?
You know, I can't think of a reason why that would be, Ryan.
Thank God.
I can't imagine that scenario. But you reminded me of something else when you were asking me about this. You know, we're sort of covering this particular area in depth, but and I just found out this information within the last year or so that Marty told. Well, he actually Marty didn't tell me. He told somebody else that after the first game became so successful, that there was talk of recasting the voice with a celebrity.
Oh my goodness!
You know, not only my character, but perhaps Jen's character as well, Cortana, yeah. And so, you know, because that's sort of the way it's done, right? And they just, you know, thankfully for me, decided, you know, went back to, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think also, you know, what you alluded to earlier is that, you know, the video game fans and Halo fans in particular, you know, are very adamant about what they like and what they don't like, and are not hesitant to make those feelings known. And so I think, you know, the feeling was with Marty and the gang back then was like, well, why mess with it?
Yeah,
you
know, thank goodness.
They seem to like this guy. He likes doing it, so why change it? And fortunately, they didn't, and it's, you know, it's been that way ever since. But you know, I have so much fun. I mean, this is like a, you know, a childhood fantasy come true. You know, doing a voice. I mean, it's, you know,
no
growing
doubt.
Up as a young kid, you know, we all had superhero fantasies, and we all imagine ourselves to be those people, right? Or those characters, the Supermans, the Batmans, the Spider-Mans, the X-Men, the whoever. And then to find yourself at some point in your life being able to, you know, in some way express yourself through a character like Master Chief, it really is a childhood fantasy come true. And I'm certainly nowhere near the point of, like, being tired of doing it. It's and you know what? I mean, we only get to sit in that chair maybe every couple years.
Yeah.
And so it's not like I'm doing it on a day-to-day basis where it's like, oh, my God, I got to do Master Chief again? Really? It's not like that at all. By the time it comes around again, it's like I'm chomping at the bit. You know, we can't wait to see what the story is and where it's going to go from here.
Now, it's safe to say you clearly have a good long-standing relationship with Marty in particular and Bungie. Is there any chance we'll see you in some sort of even as a little cameo thing in Destiny?
I know. I've not been kind to you. We know. And you know, the thing is, you know, the when you voice, you know, first of all, I don't have a tremendous range of different kind of voices that I do. You know, the guy who voices Guilty Spark, Tim Dodaba, is a good friend of mine, and he mm-hmm. lives here in Chicago. And he has a whole range of different voices that you wouldn't recognize him from one to the other.
Yeah.
He does a lot of animation and you know, he's in commercials, and you'd never know that it's also the guy who's the voice of Guilty Spark. You know, that's not me. I have a few variances on which way to go, but you know, kind of what you hear is what you get. And so when you're identified, when that voice is identified with a character as iconic as Master Chief, you're sort of typecast, if you will.
You're a victim of your own success, Steve.
I'm a victim of my own success, but I, as I often say, well, if you got to be stuck with one guy, might as well have that guy be Master Chief. So, you know, again, I'm certainly not complaining.
Well, I've got two more questions for you, and I'll let you go. I appreciate all your time.
Sure.
Now that you've worked with Master Chief as a character for over a decade, how has the way you think about him changed over the years?
That's a good question. You know, when I first, in the beginning, you know, it was a job. And you know, you get sort of a you know, as I said, you know, we would talk about who the character was, and you try some different things and, you know, hit on something that everybody liked, and off you went and did the job.
And you didn't even get to see him.
And I didn't get to see him until, you know, long after the game came out. But as it progresses, and it progressed down through the years, you know, I became much more interested in really who this guy was, not just what he sounded like. And fortunately, with Halo, there are a variety of ways to do that. I mean, with all the book series and the comic books and the, you know, there's a number of different ways that you can, if you want, go deeper into the character and go deeper into the story. And so, you know, and that's really what I've done, you know, to truly understand, because I think, you know, that's important as he becomes more expressive, as he did in Halo 4.
Right.
I need to know who this guy is and why he is the way he is, and what motivates him and what frightens him and what angers him, and you know what, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Halo is one of the few games that I'm aware of that have a variety of outlets for not only me but for anybody to
True.
Dig deeper into the guy. And so yeah, I feel like he's a good friend of mine, you know, and you know, he's a very interesting character, and what I like to think is that he's a character that's, you know, if you take the time, he's much deeper than how it appears on the surface in the beginning.
And the last question I have for you, Steve, is that. About the upcoming, you know, Microsoft announced a Halo TV series. For the love of God, please tell me you're somehow involved with that.
Well, I have no information for you on it. You know as much, or maybe even more than I do about it. But it's as you know, it's a Steven Spielberg executive producing, and it's going to be a TV series, and that's the beginning and the end of my knowledge. I don't know that I will be involved. It would be obviously a dream come true, but I can't tell you that I know anything more about it than what I've just told you.
All right, fair enough. Steve Downs, catch him mornings on 97.1 WDRV The Drive in Chicago as the narrator on the Discovery Channel's The Shark Attack Files. And, of course, every few years or so, including maybe next year, as Master Chief in the very next Halo game, check out his website at Steve Downs VO. That's D-O-W-N-E-S. That's how he spells Downs.com. And follow him on Twitter at SteveDowns117. Steve, thank you so much for stopping by on this very special episode 117 of Podcast Unlocked.
Ryan, I enjoyed it immensely, and best of luck to you. It's been a lot of fun. Whoa.
Unlocked, locked. Can you take on the challenge? Yeah!
All right, time for the unlock block. And, yeah, Justin, you have not been subject to this. Our weekly trivia segment where a listener sends in an Xbox-related trivia question. Mm-hmm. If I just think it's fun enough for the show, I choose it, and that person wins, whether or not you get it right or wrong. It's just brownie points if they stump you.
Well, good. So, now the pressure's off.
Well, it's only your own pride on the line.
Okay.
And your own credibility, quite frankly.
Well, you know, I didn't have much of that to begin with, so.
Well, we'll find out. Maybe you can restore it.
Okay.
So, Naomi and Justin, this is a fittingly Halo-themed trivia question coming to us from Anthony Gutia. I'm gonna guess. I'm taking a shot there, Anthony. Yeah, I hope I have not slaughtered your last name.
He's got that double L.
Gutia.
That's a good guess.
He is from not too far away, Antioch, California, up here in Northern California.
Stone's throw.
Further inward, inland. From here in San Francisco over at the coast. And he asks you guys this. The Halo 3 Starry Night trailer, featuring the first look at the Master Chief bubble shield, debuted on which television event? Was it a nationally televised NBA game on ABC? Was it the season finale of Friday Night Lights on NBC? Monday Night Football on ESPN, or Game 4 of the 2006 World Series on Fox? It's a great question.
That is a great question.
I had to rack my brain. I was able to barely remember this correctly.
I'm going to say see Monday Night Football.
Okay. I was going to go with Friday Night Lights, but now I realize that might be a weird timing thing, because didn't that show just come out?
Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Well, it's been off the air for a good while now.
You're way off.
But no, there is another show out.
Is there a new one?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I can't rescue you on this.
My credibility is going down right now.
We can just blame it on you.
Do you want to use your 50-50? Who wants to be a millionaire?
Okay, I'm going to choose A.
Going with the
NBA nationally televised game on ABC.
That was my second choice.
Okay, well,
we're probably
crossing
both
my fingers.
One of you is exactly correct. The answer. Justin Davis. Yay. It was Monday Night Football. Well done, sir.
Good job.
Great question, Anthony. Thanks for writing in. You get yourself a Podcast Unlocked prize pack, which the kind folks on our social team will get mailed out to you here ASAP.
Thanks, Eric Martin.
Yes. And if you would like to potentially win a prize and potentially stump the panelists here on Podcast Unlocked, send your Xbox-related trivia question along with your shipping address for multiple-choice answers, and then also be sure to please note the correct answer in the email. Send all that to unlocked@ign.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that deep breath means we've come to the end of another show, episode 117. Hope everybody had fun.
Yeah.
We made it.
Talking to Steve Downs. I know I did. I was giddy. I was like, I'm talking to him. And then when he so graciously recorded that bumper at the top,
I heard that.
I was like extra stoked.
That was really cool.
I can't believe he did that. Because it's like, you'd think he either probably hates doing it.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Like, oh, you want me to?
Yeah.
You want me to record a thing?
And no.
Or
this is new.
I was like, he might be contractually obliged not to. Like, no, Microsoft says no, you can't record things as Master Chief. But he. And I totally told him all that up front. I was like, you might not want to do this, or you might not be allowed to, but is there any way you can record a bumper? And he was very gracious about it, so I appreciate it.
That's always fun.
And by the way, you can catch Steve Downs in person if you would like to meet him. If you're going to be in Austin, Texas, at the AlamoCon from October 25th to 27th, he will be there. Look for Steve Downs. bring a copy of Halo, maybe get it signed. Or the following weekend, November 1st through the 3rd in Nashville, Tennessee at the GMX Con. I don't even know what that is, but it's probably cool because Steve Downs is there.
Stands for Great Man Extreme.
Experience.
That's pretty good.
So, yes, I want to thank Naomi Kyle, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.
Naomi Kyle
on Twitter.
Justin Davis at Error Justin.
Not Air Justin, which I get asked a lot.
Or Era, like if I'm a Kennedy.
Era
Justin.
Potty platter.
It is time for you to sign off.
Yes, E-R-R-O-R Justin.
Yes, so we'll follow you there. And I am at DMC_Ryan. Forget those other guys. I'm not plugging their Twitters if they're not here.
Yeah.
Screw those guys.
Yep.
They brought it upon themselves.
Dead to us.
IGN.com is, of course, hopefully your homepage. Be sure to pin our Xbox app to your pins so that it's not buried in the piles of apps that are stacking up on your Xbox front page. Make it nice and easy to find. And there you can watch our live streams, all of our video reviews, all the cool video content we've got going on. And with Xbox One right around the corner, there will be a lot of cool
video content
coming around the bend. So for Justin Davis, Naomi Kyle, and the great Steve Downs, I am Ryan McCaffrey. This has been Podcast Unlocked, episode 117. Most of you catch it on iTunes for free, Zune Marketplace for free, or IGN.com for free. Hint, hint, it's free. Just subscribe to it. Makes it nice and easy. So guys, thank you very much, and we'll be back with boring old episode 118 next week. Test me, Justin.
What's up, guys? This is Justin Davis here on Podcast Unlocked.
Right.
Episode 117.